Another green light. There it goes. Woo! Hallelujah! Good morning. Let's all stand together as we recite the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith here at Celebration Church. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Good to have you with us here as we are on the third Sunday of Advent. Christmas is quickly coming, and we've been enjoying it. Quick announcement. Despite my promoting, cajoling, and outright harassing, apparently our New Year's Eve thing is a bust. Everybody cry. Yeah. What, do we have 5 tickets sold? I mean, there's like not quite succeeding, and there's complete busts. Apparently, you know, wants to party on New Year's Eve with the pastor. So I got to party without y'all. Anyway, it's canceled. Peace be to you all. Reading this morning from Luke, the 2nd chapter, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good noise that will good news. Noise. I'm the noise. This is news. Good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." So this fourth candle, or third Advent candle, is about joy, where the angel says, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." So today's message is about joy and experiencing true joy, not just of the season, but of the Christian experience, the joy and life, enjoying life. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about laughing or finding things funny, although that can create joy. My wife and I laugh a lot. We have a strange house. And when she's not yelling at me, we're laughing. Hardly ever happens. Hard to imagine that I would create tension in this woman's life. But apparently there are moments. What do you say? That's when I become mute. And use sign language. I don't know what to say. Just shut up. Anyway. She has a strange sense of joy and funniness. She'll be looking at her phone. And all of a sudden just bust out laughing hysterically. And say, "You got to see this." And she'll give it to me. And I'm looking at it. And it's not funny. She says, "Don't you think that's hilarious?" I go, I don't get it. And then she will explain to me the humor of what we're seeing, and it's still not funny. And I think I get funny. Anyway, she's got quite the funny bone. Anyway, we're talking about joy. What is joy? I love the definition here in the dictionary, several definitions of joy. The emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. A source or cause of keen pleasure or delight. The expression or display of glad feeling, festive gaiety, of course this time of year. Or a state of happiness or felicity. Joy is a wonderful thing. Joy is actually infectious. If you get around people who are joyful, you tend to get joyful yourself. Reminds me of back 100 years ago when we were young, and we were in Eastern Europe, and we were doing missions things. And we decided we were going to connect with some group inside the Soviet Union, and we were going to smuggle Bibles into them. So we had this big bus, and in the middle of the bays of the bus, we packed all these boxes of Christian literature, and then packed all kinds of stuff around it, you know, so it'd be hard to get to it and that they wouldn't see it. Of course, if they look hard enough, they'll see it. And so we loaded up, and we're heading into the Soviet Union, or, you know, getting to the border. And I looked around, and everybody's just as tense as they can be, right? Because it's kind of serious. You can get arrested, you get thrown in the jail, and the key thrown away for doing those sorts of things. But we really felt that's what God wanted us to do. But as we're like approaching the border guards, I said, "You guys, y'all look guilty of sin. They're going to search us just because of the way you look. You need to lighten up." So I grabbed my banjo, and we started playing. "You get a line, I'll get a pole, honey. You get a line, I'll get a pole, babe." And we're just, you know, bluegrassing it up, and everybody's clapping. And so we pull up, and the border guard, we keep singing. And the border guard jumps onto the bus, and he starts dancing a polka all the way down the aisle to the end of the bus and back up again. And he jumps off the bus going, "Hallelujah." We said, "Did he just say hallelujah?" And they let us through. They didn't look at a thing. So apparently he was infected by our joy, which beats prison, I'll tell you that. One of the universal signs of Christians is that we carry a sense of joy. No matter where in the world I travel, Christ followers always exude the same recognizable sense of joy, even with the big language barriers. You can tell they are believers because of the joy that they have. You get a bunch of Christians together, and one of the things you'll notice is joy. You know, we gather at church, people sing, interact. If you hang around the foyer at all, you'll just see faces gleaming and very bright, not just at Christmas time, but all year round, because of the joy that we experience of knowing Jesus. Joy is a testimony to the reality of knowing Jesus. And we just love interacting with people who are believers, because one of the first signs is just joy. The other night, Deanna and I stopped in this little pub over here, and we sat down at the bar, and we just happened to sit next to people who were attenders of Celebration Church. And they said, "Hi, Pastor Mark, we attend," and we're talking, you see the joy on their face, and we just love it. You know, by the way, if you see us in public, say hi. Because I always hear from you, "Well, I didn't want to bother you." And I know there's people who don't like to be bothered all the time. They don't like to be recognized. You know, a lot of pastors just want peace. That's not us. There's something wrong with us. We are narcissists, and we love to be noticed. So if you see us, don't think, "Oh, that nobody wants to bother them." We're walking around hoping people will bother us. And we love it, right? "Oh, they don't say hi. He recognizes us." And we just love that kind of stuff. So if you see us, say hi. Everybody say hi, Pastor.
Hi, Pastor.
See, already it's working. This is great. Believers carry the joy of Jesus, and it's more than just smiling and being happy. The joy of the Lord has the kiss of heaven on it. It's the Spirit of God that's in people. Jesus talks about this in John, the 15th chapter, verse 11. He said, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you." The joy of Christ is in us, and that our joy may be complete. Joy will strengthen you and energize you. Life is hard. Has anybody noticed this? It's exhausting at times. This time of year, all the family and all the meetings and da-da-da, although there won't be a New Year's Eve meeting, but we'll all be, you know, kind of wears you down. And joy just energizes you. I was reading this in the Old Testament. This is Nehemiah in the Old Testament. They were having this big day, and he says, "Go and enjoy choice foods and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." If you feel weak, if you're down, man, thinking on the things of God and allowing the joy of Christ lift you up will strengthen you. If you let it, joy will help you overcome the troubles of life. I love this analogy Jesus says in John 16, 21. He says, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. It is one of the most amazing transformations that I've witnessed. You know, a woman in labor, there's no joy. And she's really hurting and in pain. But as soon as that baby's put in her arm, what a transformation. She just lights up. Why? And just forgets all the pain because of, you know, what had happened. This is the kind of joy we can have. And by the way, it's a good thing that women give birth. If it was up to men, none of y'all be here. Because we ain't doing that. But joy will overcome grief and troubles and anguish. And by the way, I encourage you, if you're having a hard time, hang in there. You know, life has a way of just sucking the life out of you if you're not careful. And don't let the troubles of this life drag you down. Press through it. There's always joy on the other side. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, the Bible says, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. When you get to the other side, there's going to be this great joy. One of the wonderful things about gathering in church and singing and praising God is oftentimes we're praising God before we get the answer. See, it's easy to celebrate when you just won Publisher's Clearinghouse, right? Easy to celebrate when you got a big check you weren't expecting. Hard to celebrate when things aren't going well. But when a person of faith worships God and celebrates Jesus in the midst of everything going wrong, there's joy that comes and strengthens us. And when you get to the other side, you will experience the joy of success if you don't give up. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that overwhelming response. Heaven is a joyful place. Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of heaven is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy is the natural state for a believer. I love this in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 22. He writes, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and then peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And I love the analogy that it's fruit. Fruit trees don't try to have fruit. It's just automatic. These should be automatic things in our lives. You say, Pastor, I don't have it. I try and I'm struggling. You know, there's something wrong with me. There's not something wrong with you. If a fruit tree doesn't give fruit, you don't yell at the tree for not trying harder. What do? You have to change the environment. You have to make sure it's getting enough water, air, fertilizer, whatever, because if it gets the right stuff, it gets the right environment, the automatic thing is fruit. So if you're struggling and say, Pastor, I don't have a lot of joy or love and peace in my life, check your environment, okay? Just don't get down on yourself. If you rarely go to church, if you don't pray, you never read the scriptures, you don't ever listen to Christian music, you never give thanks to God for your blessings, you are not setting the proper environment, and you will not experience joy. And that's what the world is constantly doing to us. It's always nipping at our heels. This is going, we need to have this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And if you don't set the right environment, you will not have the fruit of the Spirit. It's all about the environment. So sometimes we just need to check ourselves. You know, make sure we're doing the right things. Because if you do the right things, you will be filled. That's the promise. You'll be filled with joy. Joy unspeakable, the Bible says, and full of glory. But you need to beware the joy suckers of life. And I'm not talking about your in-laws. By the way, there are a lot of people who are joy suckers. The problem there is we still have to love them. I know a lot of people think, well, the answer to a joy sucker is to avoid them. And I get limiting people who suck the life out of you. That makes a certain amount of sense. But just hiding from people who suck the joy out of you is not the right answer. Certainly not for a Christian. We need to bless those who aren't very nice to us. Be kind to those who are unkind to us. To love people. So if you have people in life who are sucking the joy out of you, you know, ask God to help you to love them. And be kind to those who are not kind. because it will change the situation in your life. And even if it doesn't, we're still supposed to love people. So I'm not talking about people when I talk about joy suckers. I talk about some of the major elements in life. I have two here. The first major joy sucker in life is worry. People who worry, and worry is such a waste of time. We spend so much time worrying about things that never happen. They don't happen. But we're like great movie producers. In our mind, we're imagining what's going to happen if this goes wrong, and this is going to be awful, and we're all going to die, and it's going to be miserable. And then we redo the movie, and it's worse than we thought the first time. We just keep rolling it around and around, and you get sick to your stomach. It'll wreck your nerves. Worry will suck the life out of you and make you miserable. Jesus said in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" And of course, the answer is no. Worrying changes nothing. Now, to be clear, I'm not talking about planning. Planning is not worrying. It can be if you're planning in fear and freaking out about everything. But planning is a good thing. If you don't plan to succeed, you're planning to fail. Okay, everybody needs a plan in their life. Figure out where we're going, what we're doing, how we're going to build our business, how we're going to make income, all these different things. That is not worrying. This is planning, making decisions and things for your life. You're young people planning, you know, what are you going to do for a living? And I know a lot of them stress out. You know, if you're stressed out about what you're going to do for a living, just relax. You know, a lot of people don't really figure out what they're going to do for a living until later in life. Most people actually that go to college and get a degree wind up doing things that have nothing to do with their degrees. It's a little frustrating after all that expending, you know. It takes a while sometimes to figure out where you fit in life. Relax. It'll be clear to you. Trust God, and he will guide your path. Somebody say amen. So it's not about planning. It's just about fretting and worrying and assuming the worst. And, you know, there's people like that. They're like Eeyore, you know, with a cloud. You know, but everything is an inconvenience. Everything is bad. Everything and news that you hear is going to be horrible news. No, don't worry. Avoid that. Plan. Do the best you can. But don't be filled with fear. And trust God. Again, it's easy to trust God when everything's going great. Hard to trust God when everything's going wrong. And sometimes things can go terribly wrong. Do not fear. Don't give up. The other big joy sucker in life is anger. Ephesians, the 4th chapter and verse 26 in the King James Version says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." So three things. One, he says, go ahead and get mad. It's okay to get mad. Everybody gets mad and irritated. Even Jesus at times got irritated and frustrated. You know, there are times with his disciples, he goes, "How long am I going to be stuck with you people?" Wouldn't you hate to hear that? Some disciples, "How long am I going to be stuck with you?" I'd say, "You're God, you should know how long." But then I'd probably get zapped. It's okay to get angry. Life will make you angry. People will make you angry. When things don't go the way you hope, it'll make you mad. The catch is, don't sin. And that's the problem. And what we think is, because we're angry, it's okay to sin. "I wouldn't normally do this, but you made me angry." And some of us just lose our minds. And some of the sweetest people sitting out there this morning, when you get mad, it's a frightening moment. okay, and you start using words that is not normally found in proper conversation as people are cursing their heads off, blah, 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 and they think it's okay because you made me mad. No, don't do that. You can get mad. Don't sin. We can control ourselves. So it's okay to get mad. Don't feel bad about getting mad, but don't sin when you do it. And he says, do not let the sun go down upon your wrath, which is why I prefer to get angry at night, because then I have a good 24 hours to get over it. But the point of it is get over it, right? Don't hang on to it. Don't stay in a state where you're angry for days on end. Don't do that. You know, give yourself a swirly or something. Smack out of it. Don't sit there and hang on to it just getting crazy, because anger will suck the life out of you. You say, well, Pastor, they make me mad. I understand that, but remember, we all prayed a little bit ago in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And you don't have to live very long before you'll find people will be trespassing against you, sitting against you. I like the word of the trespassers. They're stepping in areas where they're not supposed to be. You know, my wife is from Crivets. Explains a lot. But she's from Crivets. She's adorable. We go up in Crivets, and if there's one thing people in Crivets go psychotic about is if somebody trespasses on their property. I mean, they just lose it. I'm just, wow, I think, relax a little bit. We were walking on our property trying to find one spot to the other, and we accidentally stepped into the other guy's line. You know, he had these cameras, you know. You know, like it's, you know, the CIA is out there tracking everybody or something like that. And oh my goodness, did they get mad at us, yelling, screaming and stuff. You know, sometimes people will infringe on us and it'll make us mad. I don't think you get mad about stuff like that, but I get it, people get mad. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to forgive them, because we want God to forgive it. What we're praying when we say that prayer is, God, forgive me like I'm willing to forgive others. And if you're not willing to forgive others, in a sense, you're telling God, you don't have to forgive me, and you don't want to be there. Man, we all need forgiveness. We all sin. We all make mistakes, and we want grace in our lives. We're getting ready to celebrate grace in just a minute as we take the Lord's Supper. But we need grace. We want grace to give it to us. We need to give it to others. So enjoy this time of the year. Enjoy your family. Enjoy all the different things that bring joy into your life. And be intentional about it. Find things that lift you up, that encourage you. Play songs that encourage you. Again, get involved. You know, watch your spiritual environment. Make sure you come to church. Pray on the different things that will increase the joy in your life. And avoid things that will eat away at your joy. You know, things like worrying about stuff all the time or getting mad about things. Because that is just an ultimate joy sucker. And when there's no joy, it makes life really, really difficult. Joy is the motor oil that'll keep the engine of your life working. And if you don't have it, man, you know, tension builds, heat builds, and everything's going to break. So try and avoid that. And just relax. We all need to learn to relax. You know, life is difficult. You know, half the country was elated about the last election. The other half is still psychotically upset. You know, just relax. Everybody just relax. And life is not the end. Everybody, that's one of the problems, especially with politics, you know. And both sides do it. If there's one thing we hear every time, this is the most important election of our lifetime. The world will end if we don't win this election. No, it won't. You know, I mean, everybody wants to win. I want our guys to win. You know, everybody has their opinions. But the world's not going to end. God is bigger than all the troubles in your life, bigger than whoever's in office, bigger than whatever somebody else is doing to you, bigger than your boss that irritates the snot out of you, bigger than your kids who drive you insane. God is bigger than all that. Don't let the little things of life pull you down into a place where all the joy sucks out of your life. Amen. Now we're going to celebrate communion together. The ushers are going to get ready to come down. This is where we celebrate the joy of what Jesus Christ did for us. He died on the cross for the sins of the world, including our sins. And the Bible says whenever we do this, we should pause and reflect and set things right in our own hearts with God. We're supposed to examine ourselves. So with that thought in mind. I want everybody to bow your head, and I'm going to pray a prayer of forgiveness over all of us. Heavenly Father, before we partake of the bread and the cup this morning, and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause now to examine ourselves. If we have sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, something that we did that we shouldn't have done, maybe something that we said that we shouldn't have said, something that we should have done but we didn't do because we allowed ourselves to get sidetracked one way or the other. If we haven't loved others as we love ourselves, for the sake of your beloved Son Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, we pray, have mercy on all of us and forgive us of our sins. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. And while people are reflecting, maybe you're here this morning thinking, you know what? I hear you guys singing and talking about joy and all this, knowing God in your life, but I've never really experienced anything like that. Well, you can right now. In your own words, just open up your heart and your mind and just whisper to Jesus, say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I want to know the joy of God in my heart. And if you'll do that with sincerity, you can start to experience the very thing we've been celebrating this morning and take your first steps of faith with us here today. Amen.